Legends, welcome to the Gym Boss Podcast. My name is Jimmy Halley. I'm your host as always. And we are on this series, on this run of podcasts where we're bringing in special guests. We're actually shining a light on the people that are in the trenches, gym owners, other coaches in the fitness industry themselves. So we can show their wins, their successes, but also share some of the lessons, maybe some of the things that didn't quite go well along the way, but wish they might have known at the start. So then we can help you guys, the listener, when you come up with these problems or these challenges as well. You'll be armed with the tools and everything that you need. But before I introduce my guest, I always make the joke, what kind of marketer would I be if I didn't pitch my stuff? So guys, if you are a gym owner and you're listening to this at any of our podcasts at any stage and you're like, hey, you know what? I actually need somebody to help me take care of my marketing, help me with the follow-up and appointment setting, then you can just go and check out our website, iwantgymleads.com. That's iwantgymleads.com. You can go over there. You can see all the work we've done with previous clients. And if you like what you see, book a time in and you will be able to chat with me directly about how we can go ahead at implementing that for your business. But right now, that's out of the way. My special guest today is Johnny. He is the owner, creator, founder of Physique Performance Specialists over in Perth, Australia. And he's actually been in business, he was just telling me, 5 years and has actually not one, but four gyms, four locations. Are they all under the same? Oh, before we get into that, Johnny, welcome.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me on board.
Mate, it's a pleasure. So are they all the gyms under the same brand?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy. So we're not franchised as such, all four gyms under the same umbrella. We like to think of it as one big community with just four separate locations, but we all operate as a team and as a unit together.
That's awesome. And so the thing that Johnny and I were talking about that I think might be really, really beneficial to everybody tuning in, whether you're a seasoned pro, owned a gym for 10 years, or just thinking about opening a gym, was the things that the problems that you think you might have might not necessarily be the actual problems that they are. And what we're referring to is a lot of people think, a lot of gym owners or any business owner thinks, if I just got more leads, I'd be able to grow more. And you were saying, mate, that's not always the case. What you've seen when every time you've opened a new location.
Yeah, that's right. I think, and I see it externally now where I see a lot of young up and coming gym owners, you know, burst into the scene, starting to chase and hunt more leads. Generally, without the systems and infrastructure underneath it all, which we definitely hadn't had to handle the growth over the years, that can just highlight more problems than you thought you had, but highlight the real problems that you have in your business as well. A high influx of members is going to, or high influx of leads, sorry, might start by highlighting a sales problem because you've got to convert those leads, or else you just got phone numbers on paper. Then once you sell them, you need to handle that influx of members into the business while maintaining the standards and quality that you set for yourself when you originally set out to open a gym.
So how did you go about, like, obviously by the sounds of it, you just stumbled upon this because you're like, oh shit, let's focus on this problem over here. And then it presented itself somewhere else. How did you go about like identifying, like, what do we do first to like, what's broken? What, like actually identifying what's the broken part and then making the action plan?
Well, so when I opened the first facility in 2016, like a lot of up and coming gym or studio owners, you know, we're all great coaches. We've only ever had to really work for ourselves. We haven't had a team. We haven't had to become leaders yet. So we had the first location. It was a slow start for about 6 months until we started learning the arts and crafts of Facebook marketing, lead generation, funnels, all those sexy things out there these days to help attract clients. And I remember New Year's 2017, you know, Christmas period, that's where gyms always start to blow up. And we did. We put up some ads. We got a high volume of leads. It was awesome. We're excited. We're finally going to break through and fill up our new facility, and I won't have to worry about the stress of when my next paycheck and all that stuff's coming in. But I remember being just really overwhelmed with just going from half capacity to full capacity within a few weeks, you know. the system, the training system that we took pride in and that we're running soon disintegrated. I didn't feel that we're able to deliver the same quality to that volume of people in such a short amount of time. It was hard to bring on trainers and get them up to the quality that we expected to handle that volume of clients. And it was almost like a revolving door, because the more leads we got, the more clients would bring on board. Therefore, our retention rate would decrease. Therefore, we'd need more leads to replace those clients. And it just kept rolling around until we sort of pulled things back a bit and problem solved every little issue that problem highlighted and became better and grew from that. And to be honest, that was the first facility. We've been through it in different styles at every facility that we've opened, including the most recent one over the last 12 months. But every time it's happened, we've been able to level up and problem solve more issues in the business and grow and better from it.
Yeah, mate, you've covered a lot of ground there, and there's some stuff there that I hear quite a lot when my day-to-day stuff speaking to gym owners is, hey, yes, I don't want to sacrifice the quality. Like, I want to grow, but I don't want to grow too fast because of the very reasons that you just outlined there. Quality, like you said, the whole thing disintegrated, right? The whole systems just fell apart, couldn't deliver on what you're promising people, couldn't get the coaches up to speed. So talk on that part specifically. Like, what did you do around that?
Well, I think the first thing to look back on was just ensure first and foremost that, yes, we're getting volume of leads, but we need to be attracting the right people as well, you know, so that people who come into PPS, we specialize in body composition. We do like really awesome body transformations, but we do it without any cardio. We do it through strength training only and through, you know, sustainable nutritional practices. So we're not a quick fix style of gym. And first and foremost, we just wanted to refine our message and who we get clear on who we were and who we're attracting, so that the volume of leads that we did get at least were people that were a good fit for our community first and foremost, because your retention rate's going to drop and you're going to get more cancellations if you're just attracting everyone to your gym. And some of those people might not be a good fit for your culture first and foremost, you know? So that was the first thing that we probably had to refine. Second to that was onboarding. You know, that will also help identify who's a good fit for your facility. You know, how are you bringing all these new members on board? What are all the touch points to ensure they get a valuable PPS member experience, to ensure that they get the best outcome possible, making sure they go through a checklist of systems and become part of our culture was also really important. And then after that, who's driving the system? It's obviously your team and your coaches. So you yourself as a gym owner need to become a better leader so you can grow your team to replicate you and get all those touch points across without you having to do everything yourself and get totally burnt out. And then the thought of, you know, if you get too burnt out, the thought of getting leads, getting an email from Facebook saying you've got another lead generated in your system, you'd just be like, oh man, not another one. if you're completely cooked and, you know, not handling the workload. So it needs to be a positive experience that you get a lead, not another, oh man, who's this I have to call this time?
That's actually a real thing. Like, some people listening that have not been there before might be like, oh yeah, right, like, good fucking problem to have. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, poor you, you've got like people wanting to come and join your gym. But when you're, I think, as you said, when you're cooked, you're fried, you're burnt out, like, you're taking sales calls all the way up until 8:30 at night, every night, on top of, like, you know, while trying to cook and clean. And you've got, like, a friend of mine was saying, like, he's on the pots and pans at home with the phone on his ear, was making sales calls like that for a long time until he realized, like, man, I need to hire somebody but I need to first, you've touched on some really great stuff there. You touched on refine who you want.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got into the, okay, now we know who we actually want. Now the onboarding process. What are we going to do to get that valuable experience?
Mm.
And it's repeatable, so everyone gets the same experience, right? That's the whole point.
That's right. And not just repeatable by you, the owner, but repeatable by anyone who represents you at your business.
Yes. Then, how you do that is into your third point you brought up, which is Now, how do I get what I do that's in my head that I deliver every day? How do I put it into a checklist? How do I put that into a system? Mm. And that was actually really cool, is you have a checklist for culture, basically.
Mm. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
That's, I've never heard anybody say that before, because people think like our culture, our community is the fucking best. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Honestly, if you're a gym owner listening to this, don't get offended, but everybody fucking says that.
Yeah.
Every
yeah.
single phone call I have with every single potential prospect of a gym owner to come and use our services goes, nobody has a community like ours. Ours is the best. Cool. I get that. But you've systemized culture to a point where it's not reliant on the owner to drive that.
Mm, yeah, absolutely. I think, I guess the simplest way to put it is what happens in the first experience when a member turns up to your door to sign up, you know what I mean? Obviously, a lot of people can have a bad experience. They rock up to this intimidating private gym. It's like a warehouse, maybe in an industrial area. They rock up 7 o'clock at night, it's dark, and they stand at the door. And I've heard stories of that not happening at our gym, hopefully, but had stories of people rock up to gyms to sign up, private facilities, and they stand at the door and no one even acknowledges they exist. You know what I mean? Maybe they're a walk-in client. Maybe the sales consultant's not at the door to greet them. Other members just think they're a member because their gym has maybe such poor culture that members can't differentiate who's actually in the gym and who's not. So the person gets left there at the door. Whereas for us, you know, we've got real good solid touch points on someone's first experience in the gym, because the first experience is the one that solidifies whether they sign up for 12 weeks or for 12 months, you know. They turn up, someone's at the door to meet them first and foremost. Once they get brought in, they get introduced to at least 3 members currently training in the gym right now. They get introduced to all the coaches. They get walked through the gym, talked about, you know, other members' success stories, culture, experience. Made to feel like a name, not a number, and brought into what's more like a when you come over to someone's house for dinner, not some sort of business transaction, you know. Mm. So there's a real good system around that, you know, which is just ensuring that that happens every single time someone comes to your gym. And like I say, that can be the difference between if someone signs up for 12 weeks or a year, or if someone signs up alone or goes home and then refers 3 of their friends because they just got blown away by what we call ourselves at PBS, which is the gym for non-gym people. They come in with these low expectations because they've had such poor experiences at gyms in the past. They turned up to our gym and then their whole perception just got warped of what they thought gyms were, and the standards just got raised. There's a lot more trust. They're gonna want to stay with us for a long time and tell all their friends, like, hey, man, you need to quit your gym and come to mine because this just happened. And if that's my initial consultation, imagine what training them with them is actually like.
Dude, that's but cool,
the trick will be to do that and do 30 sales a week as well. If you are trying to grow your gym, it's easier to say if you're doing 1 or 2 sales a week, right? But if you're doing 20 to 30 sales a week or 20 to 30 sales even in a month, every single time that needs to consistently happen, not just that one time you did that for one member that you keep telling people about, you know? That's what a system is, yeah.
Yeah, and that comes back to the checklist, right? The system.
Yeah, that's it. And the culture within you, I guess if everyone wants to use the term culture in the fitness industry, but having the culture in the gym where your team wants to do that for you without you standing over them is really important, which comes down to leadership and team building. And then I guess just to touch on that a bit more, if you do that stuff consistently over time, members will also, senior members in your gym who become leaders will do it for you if they see that no team member is around to help out at that current time. They might see a new member come into the gym. They remember what it was like when they first joined the gym and how they felt and how that experience helped them. So they go out of their way to help junior members as well, because that's just part of the culture you've created in your gym.
Yeah, dude, that's what
culture is. You know, everyone uses the term, like you said, in the industry. And, you know, a lot of gyms do have good community and culture. I guess that's how we see what culture is.
Yeah, I think you nailed it by saying your team do that same high level of service, that same high level of care and attention to detail, even if you, the owner, is not in the gym at that point in time.
Yeah, that's so important, you know, especially if you're going to grow to multiple locations or ever want a day off, you know, you need to look internally first at yourself as a leader and what you can do to help your team replicate those little things that the owner of a business does just that little bit better than everyone else in the business. Because let's be honest, no one ever cares about your business as much as you as the owner, but you can definitely get it to a level or try to get it to a level where people care just that little bit more that than they normally should, you know, and that's enough to make a difference sometimes.
Cool, man. Can you dig into that a bit more? So that whole get your team to care that little bit more.
Yeah.
People are like, cool, sounds good. Because a lot of the times some people might be listening and going, it's hard to find good people. Like, yeah, right. Like, where do you do that? And it's a bit of both. You find good people, but you also train them and educate them on, it's a bit of both, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You've got to really invest in your team and I guess be really passionate about what you do, and that's infectious to others around you, and you're going to attract, just like trying to attract your ideal client, your marketing, for example, the messaging you put out there on social media, your content and all that stuff, your branding, that's there to attract the right team members to work within your company, not just to attract leads, you know what I mean? And if you're attracting those right people, they are drawn to you. It's not just a job for them. They want to be a part of what you're doing, and they care. They don't want to let you down, if that makes sense. They want to be a part of that success because they truly believe in what you're doing. It's not just a job for them. And that's been part of what's been integral for us to scale to these locations and have 18 team members now across the gyms, is that messaging, that branding, that caring for the people as much as we do becomes infectious, and others want to drive and do that for you as well and with you.
So, like a tactical question, how do you get people to do that? How do you get people to buy into the brand of what you do at your gym, meaning staff-wise? How do you actually execute that on a daily, weekly basis?
I guess there's probably two parts to it. The first part, once again, like anything, you need to have really strong core values. You need to have a strong mission and a purpose. That's your messaging, and that's what you're out there doing to make an impact in the industry, which draws people in to want to be a part of that, like rallying your team together for a common cause. That's really important to ensure that you are all there for that same purpose and that same outcome that you're working towards. And it needs to be something better than signing up X amount of members. It needs to have value. It needs to make a difference to the industry, you know, and they need to feel like they're going to be part of that change.
Go on to your second point, can you give, because a lot of people hear vision, values, all that sort of stuff.
Mm.
Yeah, that's some corporate wanky stuff. Like,
yeah, it is,
you know,
yeah.
But the longer I've been in business, the longer I realize how important it is for exactly what you're talking about. It's something that's very important, but not an urgent, like, must get done today item. And that's why I think a lot of people don't really look at it. They're like, cool, yeah, I get it. Like, you know, but then other people will come out something with so massive that it's crazy. Like, I want to impact 10 million lives. Well, how? Like, you've got a gym. There's not even 10 million people in your local area. So I think can you share yours? Like, what is
I can share mine, yeah. So, yeah, I completely agree. The whole 10,000 lives or 10 million lives thing's good. I guess, you know, to have a measurable outcome is always important. That's cool. I probably found something like that never really lit me up and got me out of bed every morning at 4 a.m. to come and, you know, coach people and build a business. It had to be something that, you know, lit, that fired me up, and I was able to articulate to my team to fire them up. And at PPS, we're the gym for non-gym people. So non-gym people don't have a lot of trust in the fitness industry. They've been burnt before. You know, they've been overcharged by commercial gyms. They've been ripped off by trainers who were unprofessional and all that sort of stuff. So for us, our mission is to raise the standard of professionalism in the fitness industry. We want to treat people like names, not numbers, and put the personal back into personal training. And all of that really is to just create a greater level of trust with our target market, you know, so that we can help more of those non-gym people. So yeah, it's not measurable in the number of people that we want to impact, but it's something that would help leave a greater mark on the industry as a whole. Therefore, whether it be at PBS or at another gym, other people will raise their standards to keep up, and therefore the greater standard of the standard as a whole will be raised in the industry. More people will be helped, and it's non-gym people who want to be helped the most, not, you know, not athletes who already can probably help themselves.
Yeah, that's actually a funny concept. That's probably for a different conversation, but I know a lot of people when they first start with getting their PT certificates, they're like, yeah, I want to train athletes. It's like, that's the worst industry to train.
Yeah.
Because they got no money. They're broke, man. They're living off endorsements or whatever.
We just want to help the people who need it the most, you know, and it's the people that are too afraid to go to a gym, you know, who join up to a gym and don't use it for 12 months because they went there once and it looked scary and big guys were throwing weights around and they just walked on a treadmill, you know. We want to help those people that are too afraid to leave the house to go to the gym because they're self-conscious and, you know, don't want to be seen in a singlet or in shorts or anything like that. Those are the people that need the most help, and that's what we're here to do. And those touch points, everything we do is designed to give them the best experience possible and show them what gyms actually can be if done right.
Yeah, I love that, man. And some a lot of the stuff that you're saying right now is actually from my experience of speaking with gym owners. Everyone, for the most part, really wants to help people. That's why we're in this industry. They really want to help people. Otherwise, we could have picked a different career, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I just don't think a lot of owners have gone that next level or unsure of the importance and the impact of that next level of how do I get my own passion and how do I impart that onto other people? Maybe silly question, but it's maybe people listening are thinking the same thing. Like, do you have these like printed out somewhere and you have it on the wall and you have it at your team meetings? You go over this stuff like to make sure it's always in there. Like, what are you doing to make sure that these values and this vision is constantly perpetuated through all your actions?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, look, it's all printed on the wall and that's all well and good, I'm sure. Many businesses have a dusty old plaque up on the wall with some values and a mission and stuff up there. But once again, if you're the business owner and you want to take extreme ownership, you need to live and breathe these values. You know, you need to hold the people accountable to the standards that you've set. And when I spoke about earlier touch points in the business to help to ensure your clients have a valuable experience, you need those touch points for your staff as well, you know. What do you do every day? What do you do every week, every month to ensure that your staff are driven towards your purpose and also maintaining high standards? And we have those touch points for our staff, for our team, just as much as we do for our clients to ensure that they're having a valuable and impactful experience while maintaining the standards that we hold here at PBS.
Nice. So you actually have like a client journey, so to speak, but for your for your team.
Yeah, absolutely. That you've got to drive the team just as much as you would your clients because it's the team that drives the clients.
And that's what that was your fourth point, actually, because you said point one, refine who you want. Point two, onboarding like with the valuable experience. Point three, then the checklist of systems to be part of the culture. And then the last one, which you just said there, who's driving the systems?
Yeah. And I guess at some point, if you want to grow to this level, it's not you driving it. You know, you're driving the team, but it's your team who are doing the things. You know, one of our basic touch points is because at PPS we want to treat people like names, not numbers. We say hello to everyone as they walk through the door by name. You know, no matter how big we grow, which makes it hard when you're bringing on 30 new clients a week when you're going through those heavy sign up periods. No matter how big we grow, we have to know everyone's name in the gym and be able to introduce them to everyone else in the gym. So that's one of our touch points. Therefore, us as business owners and managers, we treat our staff exactly the same. When they come in, when I turn up to the office, I'll go around, say hello to all my team members by name, you know, have a chat, connect with them, because I expect them to do that for our clients as well. You know, so it's full circle. It's not just us putting on a mask when clients are around. We treat each other like how we want to treat our clients full time in the gym, man. And that includes holding them accountable too.
Yeah. So that's cool. So, because you said previously, hold people accountable to the standards that you've set, but you're saying go one above it as well, and you hold yourself to those same standards as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Then it just becomes the things that we expect of each other just become habitual. You know, it just becomes what we do, you know. And I guess at PBS, we're really trying to have like our minimum standard. We still want to be world class. So even on our bad days, we're still doing the absolute minimum we can to stay above the line and stay above the rest of the industry.
Mm. Man, this has been really cool because you're the second person that said that what you do on social media is also not just to attract clients, but to attract team members. And can you give like a tactical, like, do you literally put posts up and say, hey, we're the gym for non-gym people? Like, do you literally just tell people what your values are?
I think we can say that. You can do that, or you can just do things that, I guess, insinuate that, you know what I mean? Like, where people can just see your content and see there's awesome results, you know? So obviously you're delivering high-level outcomes for people. It looks inviting. When people scroll your content, they want to see that there is someone like them enjoying their experience at your gym, you know, without having to say, you know, you put up a photo and you say, here's Johnny, he enjoyed his experience at my gym. It's like, that's cool, you know, but you should be able to see, live and feel through someone's content what it's like to train at that gym just by scrolling it. And if you want your consumer to see themselves in those shoes, but if they scroll it and it's just photos of you with your abs, bombing heavy squats and deadlifts, you know, tooting your own horn, then Jimmy, who's at home, who's never been to a gym before and has got a bit of a gut, doesn't feel great about himself and has a sore back, he's probably like, well, I don't see myself at that gym because that's not me in that content, you know? So I guess the way we deliver our content is just reflecting to people that, hey, if they were looking in a mirror, this could potentially be you in 12 months right now, not only with good results, but happy and enjoying yourself and having a greater quality of life without me telling you those and that in words, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I like
it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%. So we're about the who's driving, and to go back to even like attracting these people. And when I say these people, like team members, when you're having interviews, what do you look for in somebody to go, yeah, they're actually going to live up to our standard or not? Or is there any like red flags or like good things you look for as well?
Yeah, a funny thing. This might sound funny, but one of the biggest turnoffs for me when attracting talent is if I speak to them and they hadn't heard of us until they saw our job ad. And that might sound arrogant, but then the second part is, once they saw our job ad and applied, did they do research further into our brand and learn more about us? But if I spoke to someone who applied and they hadn't heard of us, it's like, yeah, that's cool. I get that. You know, that's all good. But what have you learned since applying for the job ad about PBS? And if they're like, oh, yeah, I think you got a few gyms. I don't quite know what you guys do. You know, I saw, you know, you do this, you do that. I'm like, oh, okay, well, you know, if that was me, I would have, and I was looking for a job, I'd research to ensure the gym was a good fit for me first and foremost. That would tell me that person cares and has standards of where they work.
And do you just at that point go, look, I don't think this is the right place for you, or do you carry on with the interview?
Yeah, I might just entertain them for a little bit, but, you know, sometimes I'll probably have switched off, you know what I mean? I might look for any other potential saviours in the conversation, but, yeah, if it's done, it's done, you know what I mean? It's pretty hard to get those little things out of your head, which I guess that's reflection because I care so much about those little things in my business. If that person's like that in the interview, I probably wouldn't be seeing them driving those little touch points throughout the business either. Mm. That attention to detail, thoroughness, you know?
Yeah. That's actually really cool. I like the way that this has gone, this direction, because you talked about, you obviously doing something right. You got four gyms and you've thought long and hard about all of this stuff by the sound of it, because you know this deeply from all your answers, right? But I'm guessing this didn't happen all overnight.
No, not at all. And I was just about to say, it's probably just from doing it and making a lot of mistakes and learning from it, you know, obviously having a lot of mentors and things like that as well. But every year we learn more and more about the business and get clearer and clearer on what works, what's not working, and get better and better at it. But if we had this conversation 12 months ago, even 24 months ago, I might not have had the same quality of responses for you. You know, it's just about that continued growth and learning from a lot of mistakes.
And do you have like a system for yourself personally, or do you have like a cadence where you're like, cool, every 3 months I'm going to sit down, check what we're doing in the business, what's going good, what are we going to keep doing, what are we going to stop doing, what's some new things we're going to implement? Do you have something that's structured, or is it more like as problems arise, then you deal with the problems?
I guess both reactive and proactive. You know, reactive is obviously when problems come up that I didn't see coming, then I have to put that fire out and then design a solution or a system for that to not happen again. So definitely have that. But yeah, a lot of reflection. So weekly reflection is important to look back on what was going well, what wasn't. And our weekly huddles across the gyms, there's always wins, losses, you know, lessons to be shared amongst the team. And definitely 12-week, like you alluded to, there is 12-weekly reflection on how the next 12 weeks can be better, which is always reverse engineered from 12-monthly goals or 3-year goals and things like that. I would say too, what helps is we do have a great team at PBS, and it's not just always me driving the system. I'm really grateful for the guys and girls that we work with who share a lot of valuable input and insights and add a lot to the team as leaders. It's not just myself. So that helps a lot.
Yeah, mate, I agree. We just had last Friday, we had one particular part of the delivery of the services we do here at the agency. And we had all the team, all the way down to the VAs on. And I was like, cool. Everyone is involved in this part of the process here in some way, shape or form. And I gave him 24 hours to write some notes and brainstorm a little bit, brought it together. Wow. Some of the answers that came out of that were what we implemented right away. That was game changing. And I think it, as a leader, one of my previous guests from last week, Jack, he was like, if I can help everybody else win, then I'll win on a much larger scale. And that's the thing, is kind of in another way, is to say, park the ego. It's not about me anymore. It's about everybody else, because your team become like your clients. You need to focus on them as much as like when you were a solo operator, as you would have on your clients. And if you can invest into them with your time, with education, whether you buy them courses or whatever it may be, man, the quality of stuff you can get out is insane. And that was just made apparent again to me just on Friday with my business, where systems got broken down. They rebuilt it, made it so much better. And it was only 4 days ago. It's Thursday, however many days ago, 4 business days ago. And we've already implemented new stuff and it's already like so much better.
Yeah, yeah. And as part of your culture, it's just encouraging contribution from others. I think that's a sign of a good culture, you know, and that could not just be your staff members. We would also get feedback from clients quite often too, and sort of say, okay, I see that's my blind spot. I missed that if that's going to add value to the business, we'll definitely implement it, you know?
Yeah. What's been like the biggest thing you've got, like say from a client where you're like, whoa, actually I didn't see that, and it's been a mainstay now?
Oh, it's always just, it's the little things, you know, that make a big difference from a client perspective. You know, it could be just making it, helping to improve our onboarding systems over the years. A lot of the feedback we've gotten has been from clients who may have just trained at other gyms and brought little nuggets with them, you know, or said, hey, look, I didn't enjoy this, let's change that. And then, you know, we implement that. So I probably couldn't get one thing specific for you, but I definitely know that it's been those little things over time from their perspective that have helped us improve a lot, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So by the sounds of it, it's this, like the systems and processes you got are like a living organism. They're constantly evolving and they're not just like set in stone.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Everything has to be, you know, measured, managed, utilized, reassessed, and gone again, just like anything we do in business. And I think the systems are no different, you know, especially if we stayed the same size as when we first opened. Yeah, the systems probably could have stayed pretty similar the whole time. But as you continue to grow and go to another level in business, your systems have to grow at just as much as you grow as a leader, I feel.
Wow. Before we wrap this up, Johnny, is there anything, being now a multi-location gym owner, is there any like main bit of advice for somebody that's like got one looking to do multiple? What would you say?
I think just ensure that your first one can run without you before you divert your attention and try and spread across two locations, or else you're just going to be 50% at either. And as a leader, that's probably not enough to grow two locations. You need to be 100% at either of them. So I would say, first and foremost, give yourself a trial run. You know, if you think you're ready to grow to another location, spend less time, if zero time, for a little bit at your first location. See what happens, find out what problems arise, problem solve those and design systems for them. And then you might be ready to start opening your second, you know, and just ask yourself if that's really what you want. Yeah. If do you want it for status, or do you want it to make an impact, or do you want it to be a multi-location gym owner by title on Instagram?
Yeah, that's true. Mate, yeah. And again, I've been doing this nearly every episode. If I had a bomb sound dropping bombs, that would be right there. That was awesome. Like, literally that piece about stepping away for a bit, purposely see if your business breaks, and then go ahead and plug the holes. Like, that is amazing. And that probably could be what you could do for every part of the business. Like, cool. Okay, I'm not going to do sales now. I'm going to step away and get somebody else to do the sales and see where the holes are, because you can see it better when you're not actively doing it.
Yeah, that's been the only way to find out what problems we have had at PBS, is by me doing less and then figuring out how to teach others to do it, because that's what matters the most, you know. And I'm actually on a week off now, which is so I get to find out more about the business when I come back next week.
Are you ever nervous? You come in, you're like, okay, what happened?
No, I'm excited. I'm excited because it's just whatever happens, whatever problems or mistakes happen, it's just going to lead to more growth.
See, that is a growth-minded individual. That is why you're so successful, man. So well done.
Like, thanks, Jimmy.
Congratulations on everything that you've done so far. What's the plans for the future for you, man, with the business?
Oh, you know, I think just continue to refine what we're doing for now. We haven't really dabbled online. We're all in person. We do semi-private and one-on-one, so it's not large group training, which is not our model. It's all really personal stuff, but we have looked at dabbling a little bit more online, and then even potentially looking at helping just other coaches out there, you know, level up in the industry, you know, which will become an avenue for us to grow our team as well. So maybe no more locations for a bit. We'll settle on that and just work on, you know, being 1% better every week.
Yeah, dude, I love that. My advice for anybody that wants to do any sort of business coaching, from my personal experience of what I've seen from a coach, a lot of business coaching out there is just, here's a sales and marketing.
Yeah, yeah,
and agreed. I did one with these guys over in the States, and they were specifically helping agency guys. Like, I had a coach for a while. We did 4 months with him, and I said to them, like, you know, what's different about you guys? And they told me, and, you know, they had great results and everything. So anyways, I dived in. And I was like, wow, I was blown away, because it wasn't just about sales and marketing. And that's exactly what I didn't need any more of. Like, I've been doing that for, that's all I do all day, every day. I was like, I got that on lock. But like, help me out with systems, hiring, team culture, leadership, you know, the boring stuff like financial stuff that you have to do with, like, all of that is the stuff that is not necessarily cool to post about. It's not cool to advertise, like, hey man, I'm going to show you how to, like, build systems.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like,
I'm going to show you how to write a budget and breed a bass.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to show you how to have a performance improvement session with your team member that's lagging, or like, how do you become a leader? Like, I said this on one of my previous podcasts, leadership is a really hard concept to grasp, because it's not like marketing where you can, like, here's the numbers, here's the picture of the video you used, here's the funnel, here, it's not something you can see, so to speak. It's all like character traits and skills internally that you have to build, and that's why I think it's a really hard thing to learn, because it's more so learned on the job, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I was just having a chat to one of the guys before this podcast out on the gym floor. And like we spoke about, the only way the business is going to keep growing is if you keep growing as a leader, you know, and that's where your coaches and your mentors can help identify where you need to improve and level up, both as a person and as a leader. And in half the time, it's probably not getting better at running ads.
Yeah. It's never usually the surface problem that we think it is.
Yeah.
As you said, like, we need more leads. Well, actually, how's our onboarding?
yeah. How's your team? You know, do you want to work more hours? You know, so yeah, it's been a great journey though. And it's the best, most enjoyable part of it for me has been the personal development as well, more than anything.
Yeah. Love it. I haven't done this for a while, but what's some stuff you're watching, reading, listening to, like, business-wise, just so, because I love to Amazon, download a Kindle book here and there.
Yeah.
So
I just started on the recommendation from my coach was a good book called The Road Less Stupid from Keith Cunningham.
Dude, that book is amazing. That's a book full of questions.
Yeah, and I'm doing the audio version because I love the guy's old school voice. He's like real harsh and brutal, but he just hits you with it, you know what I mean? So I like that. The Road Less Stupid has been a focal point for a while. That'd be the greatest one to listen to at the moment for me.
Awesome. Have you read that? Definitely going to get the audio because I got the book, and yeah. The Road Less Stupid is, if you haven't read it, guys, or know what it's about, it's literally just all questions you ask yourself. And that's the book where he talks about think time.
Yeah, thinking time. Yeah. So yes. That's where it would come from, is just and making time to reflect. Like we spoke about, how do you grow and improve the business? You'd actually set time aside and reflect on how to do it. And, you know, good lessons in there, especially as entrepreneurs, is just because you've got problems doesn't mean you need to keep growing. You need to figure out like how to solve those problems. And that's sometimes where opening more gyms and doing more things isn't the answer, although it's a sexier solution.
Yeah. And that think time is actually kind of hard to do initially because you don't have your phone, you don't have anything. You literally have pen and paper and maybe like two or three questions that you want to solve, two or three problems you want to solve. Like, how do I solve this? Yeah.
And if this happens, then this happens. And then, you know, you eventually figure out if it's a good or a bad idea, which is really cool.
Yeah. And I remember him saying something like, sometimes you'll take multiple think sessions, like maybe you do one a week. So it might take you multiple weeks before you solve the problem.
Yeah, absolutely. And he is an advocate of having others around you. I guess he talks about like a board of directors or an advisory board, which you wouldn't probably have in a small business like a gym, but having others around you who can give you advice and call you out if they think, you know, your ideas are stupid. He calls it dumb tax is what he calls it, which is really cool. You know, you gotta pay dumb tax if you make dumb decisions.
Yeah, that's so true. One book I'm reading at the moment is it might be a bit polarizing for people now, but it was written in like 2004 or something. It's a book by Donald Trump. And it's actually called Think Big and Kick Ass.
Yeah, nice.
And it's actually, if you want to get into the mindset of somebody that just, it's actually an incredible book. I was blown away at like how good it is. So if anybody listening, if you're looking for something, get the Road Less Stupid and get the Donald Trump book, Think Big and Kick Ass, because both of those, they're different. But they're both more about the thought processes and the thinking of what you need to do, especially in business. But
speaking of culture and Road Less Stupid, sorry to cut you off.
Yeah, you're
speaking
right.
Of culture, we talk about it. We spoke about it in the podcast. There's so much of that word being thrown around in the fitness industry. He really highlights what culture is in the Road Less Stupid. And it's a really, I'll let the readers go and read or the listeners go and listen to that. But he highlights what culture really is. It's really good.
Epic. You're going to make me, I'm going to crack that out and go. That's good. Yeah. It's about a year ago now that I read that. Johnny, thanks so much, mate. This has been amazing.
Thanks for having me on. Yeah.
You're an absolute legend. So if people want to check out your gym anyways, what's the best way to check it out? Instagram, Facebook?
Yeah. Instagram's always good for a scroll. PPSHQ_gym. You can sort of see the message and what we're trying to get out there. And like a lot of what we've spoken about in this podcast and see how that's come across.
Yeah, that's really cool. And by the way, if you do go over there and you're looking for inspiration, use it for inspiration. Don't steal his shit. Like, think for yourself, all right? Be yourself. Be like, you can see the strategy he's using, but then implement your theme, your culture, your personality. Like, there's no two of you, so just be you, you know? Johnny, thanks so much, mate. This has been awesome. And everyone else, as always, if you want some help with your marketing, go over to iwantgymleads.com You can see our clients, what we have done for gyms, where we actually do the marketing for you. We actually handle that. We actually help with the setting appointments, and we also can train your sales team for you as well. So if you need help with any of that stuff, you know where to go. Johnny, thanks, mate. Really appreciate it. Thanks, Jimmy. Speak to you soon.
Appreciate it. Cheers.